am Dallas, and my wonderful companion is Linda, and we have some fun for you.
We're ready.
Yes. We're going to start with a reminder, and you may have forgotten about it occasionally as you went through your day and slept through the night. But as there are 100,000 titles, 100,000 songs with the same title, we are going to do one of those songs, and it's one of the many hundreds called I Am. This is by Elaine Silver. By the way, the bridge has two words, and you probably already know what they are. I am. And you're welcome to sing on the bridge. You don't have to have it up on the, I don't think, most of you can remember those two words. You don't have to have it up on the PowerPoint or anything like that.
I don't know.
maybe I need it, right?
Some of us are older than
others. Maybe I need it on the PowerPoint.
Yeah,
I am, whoops.
not here either.
Is it on now?
Is it on? I may have the volume down.
I was playing with the volume over here, but the individual mic.
Go ahead.
Go ahead and talk.
Yeah, turn the volume back up. Johnny, turn it down. Turn the volume back.
I'll keep talking then.
Keep talking to your best anyway. You will go like this.
When it's good, you'll tell me it's good.
The volume's up.
Is it good yet? It's good?
No.
No, not yet?
Now.
Now it sounds kind of loud.
Leave those up, Tom. We'll control from here, okay?
Is it okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gentlemen, thank you for your technical support.
Too quiet, huh?
Too quiet.
No, it's fine.
And thank you for the wonderful beginning for our service today. I invited people and I don't see them here. Makes me sad. Anyway, my name is Gail Hakola. For those of you who do not know anything about me, I live in the Lincoln Creek Valley, which is on the west end of Lewis County. It's a 15-mile drive for me to get here. Hallie lives in an adjoining county, Grace Harbor County. And then, of course, there's Thurston County. So we're real close to all of that. And I was very glad this morning that I do not live in North Dakota, because they were in a blizzard already. Yes. And I also heard that some football player, college football player, moved from an Arizona team to the University of Washington because he loves the weather here, plus the university. So, and one of my uncles, who was 30-plus years in the Navy, was all over the world, and he sailed in Thurston County and said it was the best place to be. So, I've been a few other places, a pretty good place to be, for sure. Which leads me to service, our Sunday Daily Word for October 13th. But before I move into that, October 12th in 1962 was way different from yesterday, which was such a beautiful day. We had winds approaching 200 miles an hour, and trees were like sideways. I was living in Olympia with my young family, and we went to Ralph's Thriftway to get some groceries because we did not know how long we'd be without power, and they were already without power and trying to check us out with flashlights before all the electronic cash registers that didn't allow you to do anything. It was pretty exciting. There were walnut trees in the front yard that were going sideways, but they stayed rooted. That to me was totally amazing. But a lot of things got blown over during that big storm. So, okay, onward. You got here just in time for the Daily Word. I experience joy as I give of myself in service to others. I only pause because some of you know I'm in they call it the death care business. And we had a service yesterday for Dean Dolan, whose voice used to be the weather on the radio. And that's how they closed the service yesterday. Pretty amazing. So today, I serve those closest to me as well as the larger community through my thoughts, words, and actions. As I see individuals or groups, I remember each person as the image of God, just as I am, with unlimited potential. In my professional work and as a volunteer, I look for opportunities to offer my skills and gifts in service to them. Divine love, it's crazy, I've read it a couple times already. Divine love flows to me and from me as I do what is fine to do. I experience great joy as I give myself in service to others. I need no expression of gratitude from them, although they often give it. My service blesses me with a growing awareness of oneness with those I serve and with all of humankind. From Zechariah 7:9. Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to to one another. Let's remain seated while we're led in surely the presence.
Hard to sing when there's no amplification. Okay.
God, you are every ocean. God, you are.
God created me.
Maybe that's the teacher part of me that loves to ring the bell. Although I have a whistle.
Oh! Well, he told me I couldn't
play on the playground. I need a playground. So we remained standing for our hugging very well without instructions even. Are there announcements before Johnny graciously gives his treasurer's report? Yes, Susan.
Johnny's going to help me. I think.
I have a very dear friend whose granddaughter is severely autistic, and they were hoping to have her be able to share all the different events that everyone else gets to, but in Halloween, most of the Halloween houses and Halloween things are too scary, and she would have an episode. So 4 years ago, they started Lewis County Barn Party. It's for special needs children and adults, and those of us who just can't help but go. Are the pictures up yet? Okay, it is so cool, you guys would not believe. They have 25 stalls in a great huge barn, and each one has a different theme. This year it is Halloween Town, so we have a dress shop, we have an apothecary, we have all kinds of things. Graveyard. Our Cindy helped paint, by the way, yesterday. So it's pretty exciting. And they are having, by the way, if you are on Facebook, just to see the pictures, if you go to Lewis County Barn Party, you can see pictures from the last years. This year, because it got so big, last year we're having two nights. One of them is Saturday the 26th from 3 to 5. And the other is Halloween, and dear Susan doesn't know the times, but I think it's 7 to 9. If you're, I'll make sure I have it. Yes?
It's 5 to
5 to 7? Okay, thank you. I wanted to bring a poster to show you guys, and thanks to me, I gave them all out. So we ran out. But if you know any special needs people, if you're interested in volunteering to help, they're working on Saturdays starting about 10 o'clock in the morning. And even though you haven't been before, all you have to do is put a hand out. They'll slap a paintbrush in it or something else, and you can get busy and make it beautiful. Thank you.
Question.
They're also asking for donations. And there is a place on the Facebook page where you can donate. There is a full page feature about it in yesterday's Chronicle with information about how to donate.
Thank you. The other thing that we're looking for next year is some responsible adults who will sponsor a stall. Right now, there's only three people who are in charge of planning each stall and what goes in them, and I mean, it is just awesome, but it's too much. And so next year, we're looking for people that could organize a crew. Next year, I think it's Storybook Land. I think that's what the theme is going to be, and I was thinking Beauty and the Beast would be a fun stall to do. But if you have ideas or if you want to volunteer, working on it next year. It's just awesome, and it makes you feel so good just to be doing something for humankind.
Thank you, Susan. With Halloween creeping up pretty fast, that's super good information. I've been working with four-year-olds, but they hired somebody full-time. Yay! And one of the four-year-olds hadn't talked to me very much the whole time I'd been there, but we were talking about the moon and stars, and then he couldn't keep quiet about the moon and the stars and the dark and the sun, and it was so fun. So I'll remind the school that this special thing is going on so that they get some of those kids out there. So we sang our song of, no, we haven't. We're going to...
Announcements?
We're going to have Johnny doing his treasurer's report. How could I move past that?
This wasn't my idea. A few board meetings ago, the board decided that quarterly we should, instead of doing our treasurer's report in the board meeting, we should present it to congregation so everybody knows where we're at. And first, I'm going to start with thanking everybody for helping out with the coffee rest stop. You know, we brought in about $450, just a little more than that. And that's wonderful. Anybody knows of any other ideas for bringing in a couple hundred dollars a day? We're all up for that, okay? We need fundraiser ideas that will really, really help us all out. Right now, this is our balance. I'm showing in the bank. Everybody hear me okay?
Yeah.
We've been slowly moving money over to our savings account, so we have $1,100 in there now. Our checking account says $3,830, but there's still some outstanding checks, so it's actually right around $3,100. I'm going to try to go through this as quick as I can, folks, so I don't take up much time, but also all of this is printed out, so if anybody wants to look at it, I'd be happy to give them a copy of it. We have them in the office right over there. This is our budget for October, and this is pretty typical of our monthly budget, you know, our usual bills and the money's going to be paid our speakers and musicians. And so it's $1,585 this month, and last month it was... Last month it was $1,730, so a little bit less this month, which is always helpful. This is our profit and loss statement from QuickBooks for the month of October. And you can see it says we brought in all those monies and blah, blah, blah. It all comes down to the bottom line for me. Sometimes we're in the red here, we're in the black, $197.49, which is absolutely wonderful for the month of September. Year to date, we're looking pretty good here. And our bottom line for the whole year says we're $452 in the hole. And that's not too good. And I think a lot of that is that we're down a little bit on our donations. We had someone that was contributing a large donation every month, and they moved on and we're no longer receiving that. So weekly donations and also fundraisers are going to be more important to us. You see, last year at this time, we were $671 in the black. So we're not doing... I had that backwards. We're not doing quite as good. We're doing... Look, this is 2019. We're doing way better. I had that completely backwards. We were $671 in the black. And so last year, we were $450 in the hole. So we're doing really good. I didn't mean to bum everybody out. What else do we care about? Oh, our average monthly income, which is always important. Are we bringing in more money than more we're putting out? Now, this includes all of our regular bills, our outreaches in here, and this doesn't cover little things like kitchen supplies and paper and ink and those things. But if you look on here, you can see there's more greens than yellows, which means we're bringing in more money every month than what we have been expending. And October's not on here yet. So October should come out pretty good in the green because we've got the coffee rest stop helping us out. And then the very last thing I want to show you all is the community outreach. So during this second quarter, you wonderful folks have contributed $392 for our community outreach. And we sent $156 to the Hot Soup Centralia, $117 to the Gathered Church, $78 to the Lewis Bank Food Bank, and put a little bit more money in our reserve fund. So our reserve fund is now up to $63.07. Okay, and I am finished, unless anybody has any questions.
Thank you, John.
You are very welcome.
Thank you very much, Johnny.
Yeah.
Some other churches that I've been to have a reader board thing where it shows the attendance and the contributions every week. So I don't know if the church wants to have one of those or not, but we'll discuss it in the board. My son's friend looked one up online for me, and she found one that's wood that was $200. So just as an aside, for ways we can spend money. The other way that we really need to spend money is on our roof for the big part of the church. And Tom has been getting bids on that. And when we have all the bids, we'll report to the membership on what those will be. And I don't know, maybe we need to It's up to the membership whether we want to have like a thermometer, like United Way does for our roof account. That's one way to look at it. But it's up to the membership. So please give us feedback on what you would like to see us do. Yeah, the one bid was $8,000. Another bid, who likes to work with churches, was about $6,500. And then I think you're in the process of getting a third bid. Yeah. So we did collect enough money, you know, several years back that we painted the church, I think, as I recall, was about $6,500. So, and it is important to maintain our mortgage-free building so we have a place to come and a place for other groups to come. So, so far so good. And as Johnny reminds us, the roof does not leak. But
yeah,
it does need some work. If you stand over here and look up at this side of the roof, it's not level. It goes whoo. So it's kind of not a good sign. Anyway, enough about all that. And then we get to say our unity statement together. It's in your program as well. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. Our song of joy, let's stand for that, please. We really warmed this place up with our initial song.
You are the face of God.
You are the face of God. I hold you in my heart. You are a part of me. You are the face of God. You are the face.
Chosen something from Lessons in Truth by H. Emily Cady. What we need to do is seek the revelation of the living Christ within our own being, each for himself, knowing that only this divinity come forth can make us powerful and happy. Every person in his heart desires, though he may not yet quite know it, this new birth into a higher life, into spiritual consciousness. Everyone wants more power, more good, more joy. And though to the unawakened mind it may seem that it is more money as money, more or more goods that he wants, it is nevertheless more good, God, that he craves. For all good is God. Many today are conscious that the inner hunger cannot be satisfied with worldly goods and are with all earnestness seeking spiritual understanding or consciousness of an immanent God. They have been seeking long with a great desire of unselfishness and a feeling that when they have truly found God, they will begin to do for others. Faithful service for others hastens the day dawning for us. The gifts of God are not given in reward for faithful service, as a fond mother gives cake to her child for being good. Nevertheless, they are a reward. Inasmuch as service is one of the steps that lead up to the place where all the fullness of God awaits men. And while spiritual understanding is in reality a gift of God, it comes to us more or less quickly in preparation as we use the light that we already have. If you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkest and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Isaiah 58:6-11. Stagnation is death. A pool cannot be kept clean and sweet and renewed unless there is an outlet as well as an inlet. It is our business to keep the outlet open and God's business to keep the streams flowing in and through us. Unless you use for the service of others what God has already given to you, you will find it long, weary road to spiritual understanding.
Thank you, Eileen. That long, weary road does not sound very enticing. Yes, our meditation song, for which we remain seated.
We have a song here with, according to the local geography, has a very ironic title, because in reality, we could never do what the song suggests was done, right? I dreamed of rain. If we ever dream of rain, we'll wonder, is it real or is it a dream? Jan Garrett, J.D. Martin.
I dreamed of rain and the rains came soft and easy, sweet and clear. I dreamed of rain and the rains came and peace spread over the land. Peace spread over the land. The green was easy and the rivers ran clear.
I dreamed of summer and the winds changed and peace spread over the land. Peace spread over the land. And the flowers bloom in the desert and the fresh and clear. I dreamed of coming and the winds changed and peace spread over the land. Peace spread over the land. I dreamed of freedom and the moon rose, and the way was easy and and peace spread over the land. Peace spread over the land. And the guardian stars are shining, and the earth has rested in the air. I dream of freedom and the laurels, and peace spread over the land. Peace spread over the land.
Thank you. Hospital, and they were going to check on their little patients. And all of a sudden, they saw a man wearing a doctor's coat and a stethoscope, but he didn't look like any of the doctors they had seen before. He had long hair and a beard. And underneath the doctor's robe, they saw he had sandals on. And they watched as he went in and blessed all the children, and all the children got well. And then just as suddenly as he had arrived, he disappeared. And one of the nurses said to the other, "What the heck? Was that Jesus?" And the second nurse said, "Well, I think so, but I'm not sure I recognized him. He wasn't wearing his usual outfit." And the first nurse said, "Yes, he was a blessing in disguise." A blessing in disguise. One of my very favorite holidays is Halloween. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about something that's very common as part of Halloween, masks. We're also going to spend some time talking about a couple unity concepts. I think Emily Cady mentioned them in Lessons in Truth, and Charles Fillmore, our co-founder, talked about them quite a bit. One is called personality, and the other one is called individuality. We're going to talk about what Charles meant when he was talking about those. And finally, we're also going to be talking about our monthly theme, which is finding comfort. And on your handout, one of the items that's on there is our affirmation for the month. It's up at the top. And it says, "The Christ presence is my guide, my strength, and my comfort." And I invite you to affirm that with me together. The Christ's presence is my guide, my strength, and my comfort. Yes, thank you. We'll get back to that. So let's talk first about masks. There we are. I did a little research on masks. It was quite fascinating. So masks are truly a human phenomenon. In every culture around the globe, there is a tradition of some kind of masks. And the oldest masks that have been found through archaeological studies are like 9,000 years old. And there's some theory that mask use might be even older and just that the materials that were used disintegrated or didn't stand the test of time. Has anyone in this room ever worn a mask? Yeah, most of us. Okay, great, great, thank you. And what are some of the reasons why people might wear a mask?
To pretend that we're somebody else.
Okay, to pretend to be somebody else, yes, all right. And I heard something else over here. For fun, yeah. Yeah, I dressed up one year when I was in high school as the Bride of Frankenstein. And I took like a blue pencil and I colored in all the shadows. Yes, I'm getting some agreement there. I colored in all the shadows in my face. And more than one person told me I looked disturbing and that made me very happy. Right. Why else might we wear a mask? Okay, to hide, yeah, if I'm going to rob a bank, which I'm not going to do, I just want to make that really clear, I'm gonna have something on. Any other reasons to wear a mask?
Release of fear.
Okay, tell me more about release of fear, Tom.
The purpose of Halloween was always that to allow things that you're afraid of out.
Okay.
And to personify them.
Yeah, so maybe I'm personifying that which I'm afraid of so that I feel safer. Yeah, thank you. Any other reasons to wear a mask?
Ski masks you wear to keep your face warm.
Yeah, maybe to keep my face warm or maybe to protect my face. So there's medical masks that people wear to ward off germs. There's like welder's masks if people are dealing with hot stuff flying around, right? Or a catcher's mask if someone's playing a sport. Masks can be protection. They can be fun. They can be trying to personify something else, whether it's for fun or something we're afraid of. And I believe that we probably all wear masks on a day-to-day basis, whether we know it or not. So I'm just going to do a quick poll here. Did anyone just roll out of bed this morning and just come straight to Unity of Centralia, straight looking like what you did when you first got out of bed? maybe a couple of us. All right. Most of the time, when we get up in the morning, we do some stuff to take care of this. We might brush our teeth, we might get a washcloth, wipe our face, maybe put some sunscreen or lotion on, maybe shaving, maybe makeup. But to some extent, as we go out in the world, we put on a mask. Sometimes the mask is a role that we fill. So sometimes we are out in the world showing up as a teacher, or showing up as a parent, or showing up as a learner or an employee. And these masks, these roles in and of themselves are not good or bad because we might use them for fun or we might use them to rob a bank or something in between. The challenge for us comes when we forget that the mask or the role is just one part of us, when we forget that we're more than the mask or more than the role. Now, our Unity co-founder, Charles Fillmore, had a word to describe the mask. I want you to see my little picture first before I go to the definition. He called the mask personality. And we have a definition of personality on the handout. Charles Fillmore, and this is from The Revealing Word, he said, personality is what we seem to be when we think in three-dimensional consciousness. So if we're thinking that this is all there is, this body, this face, this room, if we're thinking that's all there is, we're maybe thinking in our personality. Charles Fillmore also said, personality is that which is unreal, mortal, or governed by selfish motives. And he called the personality a veil or mask that conceals the real, the spiritual I am. The mask. He also defined another word to contrast personality. This other word he called individuality. And this might be a different sense than we're used to hearing the word individuality. But what Charles said individuality is, and this is also on your handout, the true self, that which is individuated from God, our spiritual identity, the God part of us, that which characterizes us as a distinct entity or particular manifestation of divine principle. The individuality is eternal. It can never be destroyed. So another way to think of individuality in the way that Charles was using it is the I am, or the Christ in all. And another word that we might think of for personality is ego. So the reality is, we have both. We have the personality, we have the individuality. And sometimes the personality or the ego gets a bad rap. And another way of thinking about it is that we're not trying to get rid of our personality, we're not trying to get rid of our ego, but we're looking for how can I bring that personality or that ego in service of the individuality, in service of the Christ presence, in service of the I am. Part of what we say in Unity is that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And I'm guessing that maybe most of us in the room have had times when we've had that spiritual experience when we weren't even looking for it or expecting it, and all of a sudden something happened where we experienced that oneness or that sense of connection, that sense of knowing deep down that something was bigger than we were. Spiritual beings having that human experience. And then there's other times when, I'll just speak for me, when as a human being, I'm trying to have a spiritual experience. And sometimes it doesn't happen the way I want it to. Maybe it happens more easily for you. So when we get stuck into focusing on the personality, when we get distracted by what's on the surface, there are ways we can remember that the individuality is underneath, that the Christ presence is underneath. I started to think of some times when it was challenging for me to get past the surface. And I don't know what is challenging for you, so I listed out the times that I feel like it's easy for me to get distracted by the personality with other people. Maybe you can relate to some of these, and maybe you can't, and that's fine. When my cousin, who has very different political beliefs than I do, posts his beliefs on Facebook, okay, I'm usually thinking about personality, and sometimes it's easy for me to forget the individuality underneath. If someone is very angry with me, and they're yelling, and they're pointing like this, I might have some difficulty seeing the Christ presence in that person, if that's the behavior that they're exhibiting. Oh, this is a tough one. If I start feeling envious of someone else's life, if someone's life looks perfecter than mine, shinier than mine, happier than mine, sometimes I get really distracted by this. The last example that I came up with for me, if I find myself judging someone else, thinking they should be doing this, or they should not be doing that, then that's a big red flag for me that I may be focusing on belief in personality. So I have a few techniques to get back to the individuality. I'd love to hear your techniques. What do you do to help yourself remember that there's more than what we see on the surface?
Get quiet and breathe.
Okay, yeah, two great techniques. Thank you, Susan. Getting quiet, breathing. Thank you. What else?
Saying the Serenity Prayer over and over.
Oh, yeah, the Serenity Prayer, yeah. And I really like, there's a version of the Serenity Prayer that says, grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know that one is me. Or I like to say, it's still me. It's still me. Thank you, Gail. Yes. Yeah, thank you. I like that. Taking time, being quiet, reading, tea, dancing to music, anything to shift our consciousness. Yes,
I just get up every day and realize I need to keep trying to try and just be myself.
Oh, yes. I love that idea. Yeah, that reminder that we can always start over. We can always begin again. We can, whatever happened yesterday, whatever happened in the last moment, we can always begin anew. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I sometimes do what I call the oneness exercise. And so, like, if I find myself judging my cousin because of what he posted on Facebook, I'll make myself list 10 things my cousin and I have in common. We have the same grandparents. We have the same last name. We have the same skin coloring. Sometimes if I can't think of stuff, I'll be like, we both have skin. We both have lungs. We both have feet. We both have people we love. We both breathe. We both have hearts that beat. We both have hair. And then I'll say, and I won't tell you my cousin's name out of fairness to him, although I have several male cousins, so, you know, it could be any of them. I'll say, my cousin's name, I see that you are a divine beloved of the Most High, and I know that I am also a divine beloved of the Most High. Yeah. So that's my sneaky technique when I'm when I catch myself focused on that smiley face thing on the outside. All right. Now what if I'm the one who's forgetting that I am more than this? Let me give you an example. I was in the Midwest this week for work, and I thought I was going to come home Friday, and the airline was not in accord with my decision. And I had traveled to a place that I couldn't get to directly from Seattle, so I had multiple flights, and the first flight was late, and that meant that the second flight just flat out was not going to happen. So I had an unexpected visit to Chicago. Before I got home. Now, again, human being trying to have a spiritual experience. I don't know about you, but for me, when I've been on the road away from my family for a few days and I really want to come home and I'm kind of tired and it's kind of been a long week and the airline is not in agreement with my wish, I have some feelings going. And they don't necessarily always reflect my inner divinity. So, same situation. What do we do in those instances when we know that we're spiritual beings, but we are having a very human experience?
Look around and see why you're here.
Okay, yeah. Recognize that, okay, God, we're going to Chicago. I know there's a reason. I know you're with me. Show me the reason. Show me why I'm going to Chicago. Okay. Yeah, thank you, Tom. Yeah, Donnie.
I like to tell myself things are always working out for me and this is going to work out too.
Oh, absolutely.
Hard to believe it, but.
Right. So those affirmations, things are always working out for me and things are working out right now, even if the external doesn't appear to look that way. Things are always working out for me. Things are working out right now. Yeah, thank you. Other thoughts? I sometimes also, in addition to what we've talked about, the prayer, the meditation, the affirmations, the trying to be open and receptive to what the divine has in store, I like singing as a way of shifting my consciousness, doing some of those songs that, like the Prayer for Protection song. I don't know if folks sing that here, but I know we all know the Prayer for Protection because we say it at the end of the service, and so there's a song that goes along with it that I'll often sing to myself when I'm trying to get back to having that awareness of spirit being in charge, that awareness that spirit is all there is. Whatever the technique that you use, we know that in this life, we have human experiences. We know that sometimes the airline runs late. Sometimes we have our cousin on Facebook who is sharing the messages that they're sharing. Sometimes people might even be really upset and yelling and pointing at us. And we know that it can be really easy to be distracted by the surface, but also that we can always do activities to connect back, to remember that divine presence, that individuality is the truth of who we are and the truth of who that other person is. And this may or may not be your experience. One thing that I have seen is that sometimes even when stuff happens, and it looks like something I might be tempted to label really bad, there can be blessings in that experience. And so we know these techniques that help us remember our individuality, the individuality of everyone. These are techniques that helps us recognize that our lives are blessings in disguise, that sometimes the stuff that happens out here is the blessing for us as well. Let's go ahead and take these ideas into meditation. And I'm going to sit down here just because I feel a little more comfortable doing that. So I invite you to sink into your chair. Feel yourself completely supported by that chair. And breathe in and out gently. Breathing in, breathing out. Recognizing that you are indeed a spiritual being. Knowing that you are here to live, to experience, to have the gift of being human. And knowing that as you travel through this human experience, you are open and receptive. You know that life holds more than what you see. You know that in each moment, the divine is present. That Christ's presence is always there, guiding, protecting, comforting. You know that whatever storms swirl around you or in you, that you can always return to that awareness of that Christ presence, even through an activity that's so simple like your breath. The in-breath and the out-breath remind you that that Christ presence is with you always and is the truth of who you are. So let's take a moment now and just bask in that Christ presence in the silence. We know we are one with the Most High. We know we are connected to all life and all beings, and that oneness is our truth. We take this recollection with us as we go throughout our day. We know we can always return to that inner knowing, that oneness, that spirit, that Christ presence. Is our truth. We're so grateful for this remembering. So we say together, thank you, God. So it is.
Thank you. Excuse me, thank you, Audrey. Our offering, when it comes around, there are two containers. The silver one is for supporting our church, and the copper one
for our outreach program. Our offering prayer is located inside the program. Let's say that together as we hold our offering in our hands. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I give and all that I receive. Say the blessing of thanks together, also found in your program. Together, we bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us, multiplied abundantly, and so it is. If you would like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, just call out their name or hold them quietly in your hearts.
Patty Kyle, Bill Belanda, Jack
Sick, Debbie, Haley, Yuri,
Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. As you see, our prayer of protection is on the wall or on the back of your program. Let's say that together. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. I would like to thank everyone who has made this service possible. All of you for coming, of course. For Susan greeting us downstairs. And our music, which truly livened up the place. And our reading, Eileen, and speaker, Audrey. So, are we ready to stand up and sing our peace song?
Lots of people today, too. We can go all the way around today. We've got a lot.